Good evening, everyone. Welcome back for our second part in this series. It's wonderful to see the Beit HaMikdash full. You know, the first lecture in the series is always well attended. Yeah, the question is whether the second and third one will be. Yeah, so we definitely started on the right foot, and hopefully we'll continue and be able to get through the entire course, Bezrat Hashem. Just a couple of announcements before we begin. Firstly, is that next Tuesday we have a break. Okay, so we resume. The third shul will be on the 6th of November. Okay, next week's half term. Some people are away. So we have a break next week, and we will resume on the 6th of November with regards to Bishul cooking. Secondly, is that anonymous last week's show, that there are recordings on the Tiferet Yael website, which you're all welcome to listen to. They're uploaded a few days after the show. So, last week, if you recall, we discussed a number of things. We discussed firstly the general idea, the concept of Shabbat, the two elements of Shabbat, Zachor and Shamor, the positive and the negative, and the importance of refraining from doing activities which are not allowed on Shabbat, but at the same time enjoying Shabbat and making sure this day is distinct and distinguished from all other of the 6 days. And we said that there is a mitzvah of Zachor et Yom Shabbat Lekadsho. There is a mitzvah to remember Shabbat. Okay? And we do this in a number of ways, but the primary way we do this in is with, what's the primary way we do this with? Is, of course, Kiddush. By doing Kiddush, reciting Kiddush on Friday night, we actually are fulfilling a biblical mitzvah of Zachor et Yom Shabbat, remember Shabbat to sanctify the day. And the actual act of remembering Shabbat is done by the recital of the Kiddush, the text of the Kiddush, that is the mitzvah in itself. Okay? That's the main part of the Kiddush. Hachamim said that we do this with a cup of wine. Okay? For a number of reasons. Number one is to show that this night is different from other nights, because we have a meal every night of the week. And so by beginning the meal with a kiddush over wine, not just saying a blessing, but saying it over a cup of wine, in this way we are making sure that this Friday night is clearly discernible as a different day from other six nights of the week. Secondly, there is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. King Solomon says, Nazkira dodecha miyayin. Okay, I recall your love is more than the love which, when I think about you and I recall your love, it's more than wine, says Shlomo HaMelech. And we see in the context of Zachor, of Zikaron, of Remek, Nazkira, you see this word Zachor, we see it used in the context of wine. And from this, the Hachamim taught that there is a mitzvah when we say the Kiddush, that we say it over a cup of wine. Okay, but it's important to remember there are two elements. There is a biblical mitzvah of reciting Kiddush, that's the actual text of the Kiddush. And the correct way of doing this is over a cup of wine. Now, we're meant to remember Shabbat as soon as possible. Yeah, you're meant to recall that it's Shabbat, the beginning of the night, which is why Halacha tells us, Shulchan Aruch writes, that kishayavo levito yimaher lekadesh miyad. This is a halacha which is extremely applicable from next week. Okay? Because now, you know, Shabbat comes in perfect timing. This Shabbat is probably, you know, the best Shabbat for timing-wise. Okay, not too late, not too early. It comes out, perfect time. But next week, the clocks go back. And we gain an hour. But that means that Shabbat now comes in very early. And in the peak of the winter, Shabbat begins at 3:30 or so. And you come in from shul, 4:30. And sometimes people end up hanging around for a couple of hours, only doing Kiddush at 6:30 or 7. If a person cannot eat, then fine. Okay, then he should wait. But generally speaking, when a person has the opportunity to do so, as early as possible until the beginning of life, is the mitzvah of Zachor Yom Shabbat, to recall Shabbat, to remember Shabbat, to sanctify the Shabbat through reciting the Kiddush over a cup of wine.
Can you make a Kiddush and eat later?
So we'll come to that later. We'll come to that later. Now, there is a basic question here, and that is, we know that women are equally obligated in this mitzvah as men are. Okay? So, women have the same obligation as men do. Now, the general principle when it comes to women doing mitzvot The very straightforward principle is that any positive commandment which is time-bound, women are exempt from. Okay, if it's a negative commandment, they are always obligated. And if it's a positive commandment which is not time-bound, they are also obligated. But if you have two conditions, a positive commandment to go and do something and it has a certain time frame in doing so, women are not obligated to perform that mitzvah. And so if you think about it, doing kiddush on Friday night, that's a positive action. It's not a request not to do something, it's a request to do something. It's a positive commandment. And secondly, it's also has a time frame to it. You can only do it on Friday night or on Shabbat. Yeah, you can't do it on other time of the week. So it has a time frame to it, and surely any mitzvah with a time frame which is positive, women are exempt from. Nonetheless, there's a principle that which we talked about last week. Zachor v'shamor b'dibur echad ne'emru. The positive and the negative were given together. And therefore, since women are obligated in the don'ts of Shabbat, they so too are equally obligated in the positive aspects of Shabbat. And therefore, a woman has exactly identical obligation to a man when it comes to Kiddush. Which is why, if for whatever reason, a person doesn't feel wants to drink wine tonight, doesn't want to drink grape juice tonight, etc., and he wants his wife to do so, then there's no problem in the slightest of hearing Kiddush from a person's wife, if there's any reason for a person not wanting to do so himself. Because, as we've said, it's the same obligation. A woman cannot fulfill obligation for a man when it's a different level of obligation. But when it's the same level of obligation, there's no problem in doing so, and therefore, a woman may do so, may recite the Kiddush. With regard to, we know that halacha is called by Isha Erva, a woman's not allowed to sing, so that's not allowed to sing. Right? Chanting the Kiddush, that Chama Vadia says is fine, which is the same reason why a woman, halachically speaking, is allowed to recite the Megillah. Even though, whilst doing so, you're going to be chanting the notes, okay? That's only chanting. Chanting is permissible. Singing is what the Chachamim forbade a woman to do in front of men, but chanting is fine. And therefore, for women to recite Kiddush for a husband is fine. Now, I said earlier the main mitzvah is saying the Kiddush, okay? But we do the Kiddush over a glass of wine. Now, we don't just do it over a glass of wine, but we also drink from it. Now, like everything we said last week, it always has to be detailed. How much do you have to drink? You can't just take a sip and drink. There has to be a minimum amount of how much you're meant to drink. And what we are told is the minimum amount a person's meant to drink is a melol lugmav, which means a cheekful, which is approximately, depending on the person, but you're looking around 40 to 45 milliliters, okay? Which isn't a lot. Sounds a lot, but it's really not a lot, actually. Okay? A regular plastic cup, okay, is about 200 milliliters. A regular plastic cup. So you're looking at about a quarter of a plastic cup. It's not a lot at all. And it can happen. You're eating out of somebody's house, okay? And they haven't learned this. And you see the Baal Abayit, the person leading the Kiddush. And you see this quite a lot. People say the Kiddush, they take a sip and they put it down. What do you now need to do now? Do you need to make your own Kiddush? Do you need to go and say Kiddush again? Hear Kiddush again? Is there any way out of this? It can be an embarrassing situation. You're eating in somebody's house and you see quite clearly that, you know, they haven't done the Kiddush correctly. What do you do? And so, there are opinions, Shulchan Aruch himself brings down, that actually, even if the person who makes the Kiddush himself doesn't drink the necessary amount, but rather somebody else who heard the Kiddush drinks the necessary amount, that suffices for everyone. As long as one person, albeit it isn't the person who made the Kiddush, as long as one person drinks the necessary amount, then the Kiddush has fallen onto a drinking. Right? The idea is that one person drinks and has a shiur chashuv, an important amount, kedesh titiyashev da'ato, which means that this is an amount which is something meaningful. It's not something which is just a sip or two, you know, that's not considered significant enough for the Kiddush. But it doesn't have to be, this opinion holds, the person himself who makes the Kiddush. It can be somebody else from around the table. In the first instance, it's definitely better the person who makes the Kiddush drinks the necessary amount. However, if you see that the person isn't drinking that amount, then what you should do is, if you're not embarrassed to perhaps be accused of being too greedy, is you try to drink a melol lugmav, a cheekful of grape juice or wine yourself. Okay? And that's fine. There's even one more opinion, which I'll mention, and this is really if you're absolutely stuck, is that actually, as long as between everyone around the table, a cheekful is drunk, that's sufficient. But again, that should only be relied on in extenuating circumstances. But the point of all of this is that if, this is the important point, if Kiddush is made, and nobody drinks the necessary amount, then actually that Kiddush is void, and that Kiddush has to be recited again. That Kiddush is void and has to be recited again. Kiddush must be done over something, wine, or if there isn't wine, we'll talk about that later on, what we do if there isn't wine. Okay? And a certain amount has to be drunk. Preferably, the person who makes the Kiddush should drink this amount of 45 milliliters. If he can't, then somebody from around the table, as I said before, a man or a woman, equally fine, should drink. If neither, not a single person drinks this amount, then as long as between everyone this amount has been drunk, it's fine. But that should only be relied on when there is no alternative. Okay. Now, this is another misconception. People think that in Kiddush, you have to drink wine. Okay? That's not true. In Yotzei Kiddush, you fulfill the obligation of Kiddush by listening to somebody who's obligated to say Kiddush, and you're listening and answering Amen, you've done your obligation. Somebody makes Kiddush, both on a Shabbat morning or on a Friday night. They say Kiddush, you hear, you answer Amen, you can now go and eat what your heart desires to eat. You don't have to go and drink grape juice. Meikar hadin, you don't have to, that means strictly speaking. However, it's mitzvah min hamuvchar. That means it's praiseworthy. It's a good thing for you yourself to partake of wine and you yourself to drink. Which is why the minhag is, the custom is, that when we make Kiddush on Friday night or on a Shabbat, we pour out to others, other people have as well. Okay, but it's important to understand, it's not a strict halachic requirement. And sometimes you can be in a Kiddush and you know you cannot get to the, it's a big Kiddush, lots of people, and you cannot get to where the grape juice is, and you know you think you have to be quiet, and you can't eat until, you don't have to do that. You can eat and you can drink. Okay, when you have grape juice, you can drink it. It's not a strictly halachically required. It's a mitzvah min hamuvchar, it's a good thing to do when you can. Now even this mitzvah min hamuvchar, this praiseworthy action, should be done in a certain way. There is a concept that wine which is already, somebody's already used for a mitzvah, somebody's already drunk from it, it becomes blemished, meaning it's no longer respectful to do a mitzvah again with that same cup of wine. So for example, if a person makes kiddush, okay, and drinks from it, then you shouldn't use the same wine and do kiddush from that same cup of wine unless you rectify that cup. And what that means is that on a Friday night, you make kiddush at home for the family, and you drink from the cup. That cup now, the wine or the grape juice inside it, is considered spiritually blemished in the sense that it's not respectful for others to fulfill their obligation by drinking from it. From it, I mean, well, what's very often you see what people do is they drink, they make kiddush, they drink, and then they pour out in everyone's little glasses. Okay, now those little glasses, the grape juice in them. That grape juice has already been used for the mitzvah of kiddush, okay, and therefore that's not the correct way in doing it. There are three ways in which a person should give out the wine on a Friday night or on a Shabbat. Three ways of doing so. The first way of doing so is the most straightforward, but the least hygienic, is that everyone drinks from the cup itself, okay, because that which we say that the wine becomes blemished and you shouldn't use it again, that's when it's been transferred into something else. But when it's in the same cup, It still continues that status, and you can continue to use it. Okay? So that's the easiest. You drink from it yourself, and then you can pass it around, and everyone fulfills their mitzvah of drinking, of partaking of the kiddush by drinking from that same cup. That's option number one. It's the most straightforward. Second option you have is that you drink, and then, before you pour into other people's glasses, you rectify the cup. How do you rectify the cup? If you pour a significant amount of grape juice into the cup, yeah, what you've done now is you've now made it into, it's a new start. You're giving it a new kick. It's a bit fresh start. And therefore, that can now be poured into everyone's cups. Because since you've poured now a significant amount of wine,
you've added.
You've added to what's already there. You've added a bit more, okay? The same amount, just slightly more what's there. You've added more, so you're giving it a new start. And now you can go around and give points to everyone's little glasses then. Thirdly, what you can do is, and this many people have to do for hygienic reasons, is you make the kiddush, and before the Baal HaBayit actually drinks, he pours into people's cups, and then he drinks. And that's also fine. That's not a hefset, that's no interruption, it's all part of the mitzvah. Normally when you recite a blessing, you're meant to eat or drink straight away. But here, since this is part of the mitzvah, it's fine to do so. And therefore, these are three equally acceptable options of distributing the kiddush wine on Friday night on a Shabbat morning. Either you just pass the cup around, or after passing the cup around, you pour in significant amount of grape juice, and then you pour into people's glasses. Or before you drink, you pour into people's cups, and then you drink yourself. And it's important to remember, this is an important point, you do not need to drink from the kiddush cup itself. You may feel it's more holy and it's more spiritual in doing so, but it's absolutely fine, it's clear in Shulchan Aruch, it's absolutely fine for there to be, before kiddush, each person has his glass with a ready poured wine in it, and to drink from it. You can do that, doesn't just have to be in a kiddush in the shul, but on a Friday night as well, you've got 20 guests, you can, before the meal, each person has ready his little glass of grape juice, a little glass of wine, and like this, you don't have to do any of the three options we've just mentioned now. The three options we mentioned is only when you need to give up your cup to others, then you have got the three options which we have mentioned. Moving on to two more points with regards to kiddush. Number one is, what's better, wine or grape juice for the mitzvah of kiddush? Is it better for a person to use wine or to use grape juice? The answer is, it depends what type of wine. Okay? So, the halakha is that really any type of wine can be used, as long as it's fresh and as in it's, it hasn't got a bad smell. You can use any type of wine. However, famous opinion of the Rambam is that any wine which has gone through a process, okay, so sugar has been added to it, or it's yayin mevushal, it's been pasteurized, it can no longer be used for kiddush. Now, the vast majority of Rishonim do not agree with it, and the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion that any wine can be used, even if it's yayin mevushal, even if it's wine which has gone through a process. However, because it's the Rambam after all, the Rambam is a very serious opinion, if a person can accommodate the opinion of the Rambam, it's certainly better to do so. So if a person has a choice between grape juice and wine, which is not mevushal, and they are equally tasty to him, he doesn't, you know, not like wine, then certainly the non-mevushal wine should be preferred. However, if the wine which you have is only mevushal wine, then there is absolutely no difference in having grape juice or wine, because they're both mevushal, and you know they're both equally as good as each other. However, red wine should certainly be preferred to white wine. Okay, white wine can be halakhically problematic. Okay, and although the halakha is if you don't have red wine, you can use white wine. Okay, but certainly if a person has a choice between the two, red wine or white wine, certainly red wine should be preferred, because some opinions hold that it has to actually look like wine. It has to have the ta'am, the taste, and the mar'eh, and also the vision of wine. And therefore, preferably a person should be using red wine as opposed to white wine. Okay, that's an important point. But, as I said, wine and grape juice is the same. If they're both mevushal, they are both as good as each other, and there's no difference between them. One final point, and we'll summarize kiddush. What happens if you're stuck? You go on holiday, or you're away, you know, any kosher shops, or it can happen, you forgot to buy grape juice or wine before Shabbat. Okay? And we're living in pre-Eruv times. Nowadays, just, you know, go down the road if you carry an Eruv, and you go and get a bottle of grape juice or wine. But you don't have an Eruv, you don't have grape juice, you don't have wine, or you're away on holiday, you know, there's no kosher shops near you to buy wine. What do you do with regards to kiddush? You don't have wine. Okay? So, what's the answer? What do you do? What should you do kiddush on? Whiskey, bread,
beer,
tea. So, bachala or drink of the country? Which one?
Challah.
Ah, that's the right answer.
Okay,
so everyone was right, but Adrian was particularly right. The answer is, it depends when. It depends if you're doing it in the night or in the day. And the logic is very simple, a very simple way to remember it. Because, think about it. Friday night, the kiddush of Friday night, what's the kiddush of Friday night? It's Borei Pri HaGefen. And also, there's a whole paragraph to say, a whole beracha. Asher kiddishanu mitzvotav, and we conclude, Mekadesh HaShabbat. Do we do that on Shabbat morning? On Shabbat morning, we add in some extra pesukim. But kiddush on Shabbat morning is just Borei Pri HaGefen. That's all you need. If you're stuck, you don't have a sidur, or whatever, you know, you want to make a quick kiddush, somebody's waiting and very hungry, you just have to take a cup, fill up grape juice, and say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melechem Borei Pri HaGefen. That's the kiddush. Now, everything before that is all extra. Right? But the Friday night kiddush has the beracha itself is an essential part. That is the kiddush. If on Shabbat morning you take challah and you just say Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, there is no way in it being visible that this meal is different from any other meal. Right? On Friday night, however, if you make kiddush, you do kiddush on the challah. Because, and what that means is as follows. What that means is after you do shalom aleichem, you do all the preparations, you wash your hands, etc. Then you come back in, and you say Yom HaShishi, you begin, and instead of saying Baruch Ata Hashem, Borei Pri HaGefen, you substitute it with Baruch Ata Hashem, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and then you continue through Baruch Ata Hashem, Asher Kiddushanu until Mekadesh HaShabbat. So there, it's clearly recognizable that this is a different text, this is a different ceremony, right? This is a different mitzvah, because you have the whole bracha, okay? So it's distinguishing it from other nights of the week and other meals by saying this extra bracha. And therefore, you do the kiddush on challah. However, on Shabbat morning, if you were to do the kiddush on challah when you don't have wine or grape juice, then it looks like an ordinary meal. We make hamotzi during the week as well. In no way is this meal different than other days of the week. And therefore, in short, the answer is, on Friday night, a person's stuck and doesn't have wine or grape juice, then you do kiddush with the challah, as I just explained. You do Yom HaShishi, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, Mekadesh HaShabbat, okay? And on Shabbat morning, when you don't have wine or grape juice, then you do kiddush on Chamar Medina, which means the drink of the country. Okay, so in England you've got whiskey and beer, perhaps beer and whiskey, certainly, and perhaps cider. Now, some Ashkenazim will tell you can do Coca-Cola as well. Okay, or you can do tea even, especially in England. Okay, we hold that it has to be an alcoholic drink. Okay, and therefore this applies to Abdallah as well. It should be an alcoholic drink, and not just tea or Coca-Cola. We don't do kiddush on tea or Coca-Cola. Okay? Now, Havdalah, I'll just conclude at this point, Havdalah, you can never do it on bread. Right? In kiddush in the morning, if you've got nothing else, you don't have wine, you don't have grape juice, you don't have any whiskey or beer, you're really stuck, then you do it on bread. And you're just having a meal, right? But Havdalah, you can never do it on bread. And the reason being is very simple, is because kiddush comes together with a meal. The purpose of doing kiddush is that you go on to make a meal. And therefore, when you don't have kiddush, you can do a meal. But Havdalah, however, is just over wine. And therefore, if you don't have wine, and you don't have the drinks which we just enumerated, either whiskey or beer, then you can't do Havdalah, and you cannot do it over bread. So to summarize, kiddush, then we'll take questions on the kiddush part. Okay, to summarize kiddush, what we've said, we've explained that there is a mitzvah from the Torah, Zachotem Shabbat, to remember Shabbat. There's a mitzvah to recite the text of Kiddush over a cup of wine. And this is a mitzvah which should be performed as early as possible as when Shabbat commences. Okay, we've explained this is a mitzvah which is incumbent upon every Jew, male and female alike, as long as they're over bar or bat mitzvah. And therefore a man can be motzi a woman, a woman can be motzi a man. We've also said that in the first instance, the person making the kiddush himself should be drinking the necessary amount of 45 milliliters or so. If that can't be done, then at least one person does, and even that's not possible, then at least divided between the different people, a melolugma, the cheekful is drunk. Then we said that when people around the table drink, then they should ensure that the drinking isn't pagum, it's not blemished, meaning, we said, either you pass the cup around, each person drinks from the cup, or you pour into the cup before pouring it around the table. Or thirdly, we said, is before you drink yourself, you pour into people's cups. Then we explained that wine or grape juice is the same. There's no difference between the two, unless the wine is not mevushar, then wine should be preferred if you like it. And red wine should definitely be preferred to white wine. And finally, we concluded, if you don't have wine, you're stuck, you don't have grape juice, then you do kiddush on Friday night over challah. Just substitute a gefil and hamotzi. And on Shabbat morning, you do it with chamar medina, an intoxicating drink, which is common in that country. So in England, in Scotland certainly would be whiskey, but at least here in England, definitely beer would fall under that. Just take a couple of questions, we'll move on to the next.
If you make kiddush on bread Friday night, do you have to wash your hands before you start everything?
Yeah, I said that. Yeah, you should. Before you come home, you do the tzatadayim, and then yom ha-shishi, and straight through. Yom ha-shishi, ha-motzi lechem min ha-aretz, mekadesh ha-shabbat.
Don't have wine and you
didn't
drink whiskey, you still need a
Ravita
whiskey cup, not some Hasidim on a
temple
for they make a douche.
Yeah, seemingly. Yeah, some opinions, it's not just a Hasidim, it's more than that, it's a
task. Pour 3 drops of water.
No, that's if you're, when you grow your beard and you become a kubar, then you do that. Okay? Now you don't need to do that. It's not necessary. According to the Kabbalah. If you follow the Kabbalah and everything, then you do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So on Haftarah, what?
If you don't have wine or grape juice, then.
Don't do it.
No, you do on the whiskey or beer.
And if you don't have that?
Sorry?
Cool. Next day morning.
We'll talk about the next morning. Okay. Good, so that concludes part one. We now move on to part two, the Sudot of Shabbat. Okay? Now, we know that we have Shalosh Seudot. We have 3 meals on a Shabbat. Okay? And the reason for this is very interesting. Hachamim obligated us to eat 3 meals in order to enjoy Shabbat. And the idea is, I think, as follows is, you know, sometimes you're desperate for a break and you know you have to take a break, but you just don't have the time. And unless you put in the diary time for yourself or for your spouse, it doesn't happen. You have to actually make an appointment, sometimes with yourself or with family members in order to be able to spend time with them, because you just get carried away and you just forget. And even though Shabbat is a time of rest, is a time of enjoying yourself, you can get carried away with the day and you can be doing other things and you forget to enjoy Shabbat. Chachamim wanted to make it very clear and to establish and to ensure that we enjoy Shabbat, and they said therefore it's an obligation for us to have 3 meals. But this obligation to have 3 meals can only be understood in the context of Chachamim wanting us to enjoy ourselves. That's critical to understand that. Okay? So yes, it's an obligation for us to have 3 meals every Shabbat, but that's only because Chachamim wants us to be ma'aneget ha-Shabbat, to enjoy Shabbat and have a good time on Shabbat. And these 3 su'udot, the Gemara explains, should be done with bread. Okay? This is the halacha. Which means that even if I sit down on Friday night to a lavish gourmet meal, but there isn't bread in this meal, I haven't done, as Chachamim have established, they've said that we should do it with bread. This applies for all 3 meals, it should be done with bread. And there are 2 reasons for this. Number one is that the source of having 3 su'udot, of having 3 meals of Shabbat, is learned out from the manna. And the manna is described in the Torah as lechem, as bread. Okay? Though that didn't necessarily fall as bread, but it's described as bread and had some properties of bread, and therefore, because we extrapolate the obligation of having 3 meals from the man, therefore, we also ensure to have 3 meals over bread. Second reason is because chashivot and importance for the meal is done with bread. It makes it more of a kviyot, it makes it more of something serious. You sit down to something, you wash through it, you sit down to bread, it makes it more of a formal requirement and a formal getting together. And therefore, a person shouldn't substitute bread with even the best, the most expensive food. A person should sit down to 3 meals on Shabbat, 1 on Friday night, and 2 during the course of Shabbat day. However, as I said earlier, this mitzvah has to be understood in the context of Chachamim wanting us to enjoy ourselves. And therefore, if for whatever reason, a person doesn't enjoy having these meals, so, obviously, a person has a medical condition and cannot have too much gluten, cannot have wheat. Then to talk about, obviously they don't have to. But let's say a person, he feels bloated, let's say, after having a meal with bread on Shabbat. He feels bloated, yeah, and feels weighed down and uncomfortable, okay? And he knows before eating that he's going to come to this. Does he have to eat? Absolutely not. Okay, because the meals were given for us to be ma'anik, for us to be have onik, to enjoy ourselves. If the result whilst we're eating it is that we feel that, oh no, you know, I'm not going to feel good after this, this isn't good for my diet, not good for my, for my well-being, then similarly, that's also, a person doesn't have to force himself to have the three sudot. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says something very interesting. He says, I'll read out to you, what he says in Hebrew, he says, which means, even if a person is just, he's just uncomfortable, and he's worried, and if I eat this, I'm going to become obese. It's not good for my health, it's not good for my diet. Okay? That in itself, if a person is bothered by that, okay, then again, he is not obligated to do so. However, an important point is that a person who feels bloated and uncomfortable because he's eating so much food, then there's no excuse there, right? Then, you know, have a minimal amount of bread, which is a kazayit, talking about just under 30 grams or so, okay? And then eat a little bit. What we're saying now, that a person doesn't have to force himself to wash his hands, doesn't have to have bread, that's when, if by eating 30 grams of bread, he's not going to feel comfortable. If he can have 30 grams of bread, and that's it, then he should, if he can, do so, okay? One final point about this is an interesting question. Person's on a diet, okay? Person's on a diet. And he's on a very strict diet to the extent that he can't have any bread at all, okay? So, it's two types of diets, okay? Not that I'm a dietitian, and, but there's two types of diets. There's a diet in which a person is concerned about his health, okay? And he's dieting in order to work on his well-being and on his health. Such a diet, as we just explained, a person who won't be able to keep up with that is going to feel uncomfortable, he's not going to feel happy with that. So then such a person will not have to actually have the three sudot if it's going to bring him to be uncomfortable. Shulchan Aruch talks about a person who's regularly fasts every day. That's what he likes to do. He likes to fast every day and eat at night. Okay? He doesn't have to eat on Shabbat. It's clear in Shulchan Aruch. Because if you eat on Shabbat, it's going to ruin your your structure and your schedule. Right? One day on Shabbat you're eating a lot, and then back to Sunday you're fasting. It's not going to work out. Similarly, a person's on a diet, and for health reasons, I'm not just talking about medical reasons, but just, you know, to actually, you know, work on his on losing weight and becoming healthier, then there's a very strong tzad, there's a very strong reason to say that, you know, if it's going to actually ruin his diet, then he doesn't need to have the three meals. However, there's another type of diet that people diet just to be thin, okay? Not necessarily for health reasons. Such a diet, it's very questionable whether a person can actually neglect having the three meals of Shabbat just because he wants to, diet and be slightly thinner, okay? So in conclusion, what we need to remember with the Sudat of Shabbat is that they are there for us to enjoy. But Hachamim wants us to enjoy ourselves, and therefore they told us we should have three meals on Shabbat, on Friday night and on twice on Shabbat. And those meals should preferably be done with bread. Although if for whatever reason a person will be uncomfortable having bread, then there is no need for him to force himself into feeling uncomfortable if he cannot even just eat a small amount of bread. Now, one final point with regards to meals of Shabbat is with regards to, this can happen quite a lot on a Shabbat morning. So you go to Kiddush and Shul, you hear Kiddush, okay, and then you come home. Do you need to make Kiddush when you come home again? So what we need to understand is that apart from the idea of Kiddush, which we discussed tonight, there's another idea of Kiddush b'makom seuda. That means that when you do the Kiddush, you do it and you follow it with a meal. Right? What's the idea for this? The idea behind this is the Pasuk says, V'karata la Shabbat oneg. We must call Shabbat an Onik. And Hamim explained in the Gemara that where you do the calling, where you do the recital of the Kiddush, there you should have the meal. And therefore, in close proximity to making Kiddush, a person should have the meal. So a person who makes Kiddush, again, this can happen in the winter. You're coming from shul and a person has Kiddush at 5:30 and then only has his meal at 7:30, that's a problem. Because they should be in close proximity. If a person doesn't only eat till 7:30, and it's better for him to make Kiddush at 7 and then eat straight after, as opposed to making Kiddush at 5 and then waiting 2-3 hours and then making Suda. There should be a juxtaposition between the Kiddush and the Suda. They should be closely tied to each other. And therefore, seemingly, you have a Kiddush in Shul, you eat in Shul, and you come home half an hour later, seemingly there's a big break. And you know, you have to do Kiddush again. And yes, you will have to do Kiddush again. However, when we say that you need to have the Kiddush with the Seuda, what we mean by that is, it doesn't have to be actually washing with bread. As long as a person has a significant amount of wine or of cakes, something which is mezonot, then that's sufficient for a person to actually fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush and with the Seuda. So that doesn't literally mean washing with bread. It can also mean something significant. What does something significant of wine mean? That means a revi'it of wine. Okay, that's about just under 90 milliliters. Okay? And that is already a significant amount, and that's already sufficient for a person to be considered that he's done his kiddush and he's begat his seudah somewhat. And therefore that's fine. Okay? Similarly, a person who has a kiddush and has cakes. Cakes to the amount of Saint Alamichia, so again, just under 30 grams, that is significant enough for it to be considered that he'd done the Kiddush, but Makom Seudah together with the Seudah, and therefore that's fine. Crackers. However, sorry?
Crackers,
cakes, all these types of things which are not from wheat, that can be fine. However, what a person shouldn't do is go to the Kiddush and have a sip of grape juice and then go around eating sweets and having things which are, you know, you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush with, right? Because then what that means is, when you do Kiddush, and you don't follow the Kiddush with a Seudah, or at least with what we've just mentioned now, then actually that Kiddush is void. You have to do Kiddush again, right? And therefore what that means is that you're eating before Kiddush. Because remember, you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush, in order that you go and do Kiddush, right? And therefore, what comes out is, if a person goes to a Kiddush on a Shabbat morning, and hears the Kiddush, and just has a few bites of sweets, or you know, something very sort of a bit of a drink, without actually having any real stuff, like cakes, or significant amount of wine, that's actually problematic, and a person should refrain from doing so. However, I'm quickly saying in brackets is that if the person does do so, you don't have to object to doing so, for reasons I won't go into, but preferably a person shouldn't do so. Any questions on that before we move on to Havdalah? Any questions before we move on to Havdalah? Yeah,
couple of questions. Does it have to be wine that you drink in between, or could it be like any alcoholic drink?
No, it has to be wine. I mean, yeah, and not just wine, but you will eat of wine. More than the usual one of Kiddush.
Can you drag that on, like take an hour to sip it and prolong it?
No, it has to be within a certain amount of time. Again, if you draw it out, then you're losing the intensity and the...
So what's the...
Between 4 to 9 minutes. Less than 10 minutes, basically. Yes, Sandra.
If you're not going to have a significant amount of food when you hear Kiddush
at
Shul, then should you not do it?
Better not to. Although if you see people doing that, you sometimes see, for example, people having sweets during shul. Okay? That shouldn't be done. But from Avadai Yosef has a long teshuvah to say that those who do so, you don't have to tell them off. And I won't go into the reasoning behind that, but preferably not. Okay? Preferably shouldn't do that, yes. But we have times a couple of cakes, something like that, or drink a bit of grape juice, and that's fine.
Some say that grape juice is not enough for that.
Because, like I said before, it's actually, yeah. Mi'an Mepushal, you mean?
No, grape juice is not enough for the revi'it. It has to be a bit of wine.
Why? Why did you lie? And grape juice is not soiled?
That's
soiled. Okay. And it's Friday night and Shabbat morning.
It's not an extra wheat.
No, don't give it
to you. No, you don't eat extra wheat. No, you don't eat extra wheat. Yeah. That's a nidoma, it's an extra wheat. That wheat is itself. Yeah. Okay. Yes, final question.
Something before Kiddush on Shabbat morning.
Let's say.
Yeah, so there's something before Kiddush on Shabbat morning.
Again, that's what we said before. Before, if a person before Musaf, then preferably not, a person should make kiddush, but if you know you're very thirsty and you can't find wine or grape juice around, then you can have a cup of water before Musaf. Okay, again, I won't go into the reasoning why, but it is if a person is thirsty and needs to drink, then he can. If we're going to now move on to Havdalah. Okay, let's conclude the final section of the night with Havdalah. So what's Havdalah? So, if I was to ask you Havdalah is, I think you would all answer Havdalah is the four brachot which we make. Okay? And that's not necessarily true. Because Havdalah, actually, what is Havdalah? Havdalah is only two blessings. Havdalah is Borei Pri HaGefen and HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol Uben Or Lechoshech Uben Yisrael La'amin. What this means is, as we just said earlier on in the beginning, we said that there's a mitzvah to remember Shabbat as it begins. And the Rambam explains that just like there is a duty to remember Shabbat when Shabbat begins, there is an equally important duty to remember Shabbat when Shabbat finishes. Okay? And according to the Rambam, this is a mitzvah from the Torah. Havdalah is as important as Kiddush. And therefore it's a shame that some people are quite, you know, particular with Kiddush, but aren't as particular with Havdalah. Because just like there's an idea of remembering Shabbat, distinguishing Friday night by beginning the night with Kiddush, there is also the idea of distinguishing Motzei Shabbat, the beginning of the week, with over grape juice, over wine, with Havdalah, to distinguish it and set it aside from other nights of the week. Okay, and therefore a person should try very hard, you know, to make sure he does Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat itself, as opposed to the next day, which we'll talk about in a moment. Now, Havdalah means, as we said, to distinguish, differentiate. Right? That's what the word Havdalah means. The Havdil means to differentiate. And what that means is saying, just like we do on Kiddush on Friday night, we say Borei Pri HaGefen, and then we say Mekadesh HaShabbat. That's Kiddush. Similarly, Havdalah Motzei Shabbat is Borei Pri HaGefen and HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol. The bracha on the grape juice, and then the bracha to HaMavdil Hashem, who separates and distinguishes between Kodesh and Chol. So what's the middle two brachot about? The middle two brachot of Besamim, the spices and the fire, have got nothing to do, strictly speaking, with the Havdalah. Okay? So what's the Besamim? The Besamim is taught because in order to revive us after Shabbat leaves us, you know, there are people who once upon a time couldn't wait for Shabbat. There's still people today who can't, just cannot leave Shabbat. Okay? And they are depressed when Shabbat leaves then. And so in order to revive them, they smell besamim to bring up their spirits. Okay? And that's the idea of besamim. The idea of the ash of the fire is that the Gemara explains that Adam HaRishon, right at the beginning, after Shabbat, he took two stones together and he made fire for the first time. And we remember, we commemorate this by lighting a fire on Shabbat. Has this got anything to do with distinguishing Shabbat from the rest of the week? Absolutely not. Which is why, if a person doesn't have handy the samim or the candle for fire, then you shouldn't delay Havdalah. Okay, so if you're only going to get it a few hours later, the besamim and the fire, then there's no problem in deciding doing Havdalah right now. Because Havdalah means HaGefen and HaVdil B'Kodesh Lechol. Those two brachot, the Chachamim said, because you're anyway doing Havdalah, so do it together, all in one go, in one batch, put in the besamim, put in the spices, put in the fire. But they're not intrinsically part of the Havdalah. Which is why you shouldn't prevent yourself from doing Havdalah if you don't have them handy. It could be you're not going to have them at all. In a place where you don't have a candle, you don't have besamim, right? Nevertheless, that doesn't prevent you from doing Havdalah. Not just that, even more than that, actually, a person, this is clear in Shulchan Aruch, black and white, a person does not need to bother himself too much to find spices or the esh. all the five. Okay? Which means, you don't have, and you're going to have to go to Tesco to buy yourself spices. You're not obligated to go to Tesco and buy spices. You're not obligated to go to Tesco and buy candles. Okay? If you have them handy within the house, great. If you don't, you're not mechuyav, en chayav lachzor acharem, you don't have to actually go and look for them. Because, to reiterate, Havdalah means to distinguish Shabbat and the rest of the week, and that is with the bracha of Hagefen and of Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechor. Now, what happens, a person, and this is two questions we need to discuss together. Firstly, what happens if a person is traveling straight after Shabbat in a huge rush? And he wants to do Abdallah 10 minutes, 20 minutes before Shabbat finishes. Or I can tell you as follows. Let's say you need to walk, you're catching a bus after Shabbat. Okay? You're catching a bus after Shabbat. And it takes 20 minutes to walk to the bus stop. Halachically, you're allowed to walk to the bus stop. That's fine. That's not considered tachana, it's not considered preparation, only to the reasons why, but you're allowed to walk to the bus stop, provided you're not carrying anything mukta, of course. Let's say you can get onto the bus, it's prepaid and whatever. But you're not going to make Abdallah, so you won't make Abdallah before. Can you do that? That's question number one. Now, from the question I'm asking, you can see again, the concept which we've just said, is that Abdallah doesn't mean fire. Because if Abdallah would mean fire, then there's no question to discuss. Because you certainly cannot switch on the candle, ignite the candle on Shabbat. That's obviously. What we mean is when we're saying doing Havdalah, that means just doing Hagefen, and Havdil Mikodesh Lecho, which is the main part of Havdalah. Question number two, which is far more common, especially here in the United Kingdom, in the summer, okay, is what happens, a person wants to go to sleep. Shabbat comes out at 10:35, the peak of the summer. It's a long day, they manage to sleep in the afternoon. Okay, you want to go to sleep at 9 o'clock. You can't, you know, you can't stay up anymore. A woman's been up with the children the whole day, up with the baby the whole day, wants to go to sleep, etc. Or, for that matter, a child. A young teenager, 13, 14, wants to go to sleep, or even less than that. Okay, what do they do about Havdalah? When do they do Havdalah? Right? Can they go to sleep, or are they obligated to stay awake and do Havdalah at 10:35 after Shabbat finishes? So, we said last week that there are different ways of viewing Shabbat. And one way of viewing Shabbat is that Shabbat is actually the middle of the week. Do you remember we talked about that? That it's not Shabbat is the end of the week, but rather Shabbat is the middle of the week. That Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are a build-up to Shabbat, and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're weaning off from Shabbat. Now, because of this, if a person for every reason cannot do Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat itself, then for us Faradim, you can only do Havdalah on Sunday itself. You can do Havdalah on Sunday. Okay? For Sunday itself, you can do Havdalah. Not on Monday and Tuesday. But on Sunday itself, a person can do Havdalah. Which means that, let's talk first about a person who needs to go to sleep on Matzei Shabbat. The Shulchan Aruch writes that, strictly speaking, a person is allowed to say Havdalah on Shabbat afternoon from Plag HaMincha. What's Plag HaMincha? Plag HaMincha is about an hour and a quarter before sunset. So in the summer, if Shabbat comes out by 10:35, Plag HaMincha will be about after 8, just after 8. Okay? That's... what's the idea behind that? It is ready from this time, the next day is approaching, which is why we pray Arvit as well from that time. Okay? And therefore, Shulchan Aruch writes that from that time, a person can do Havdalah. That's a huge chidush. You think about it, it's something quite amazing, right? However, this isn't recommended for the obvious reason that there's the grave and serious concern that you do Havdalah, and in a moment of forgetfulness, you think, I've done Havdalah, and you go and do something to be done on Shabbat. And therefore, Shulchan Aruch says, Poskim say that even where, for whatever reason, you need to travel straight after Shabbat, okay, you shouldn't do Havdalah until Shabbat is actually finished. This is provided that you will be able to do Havdalah on Sunday. Okay? So you're going to a place, and that place will have wine, you'll have grape juice, you'll be able to do Havdalah when you get there. So you've got the whole Sunday to do Havdalah. If, however, you're going to a place where you're not going to have access, you're not going to be able to have wine, you're traveling on a flight for 20 hours or so, and you're not being able to do Havdalah for Monday or Tuesday, and you need to go straight after Shabbat, and you cannot wait, then actually a person makes Havdalah from Plag HaMincha, from, you know, from even on Shabbat itself, a person can do Havdalah an hour or two before the end of Shabbat. Again, I must emphasize, without the fire. Okay? Without the fire. Because remember, that's not part of the Havdalah. Okay? Of course, it's still Shabbat. But still, yeah? And what I mean is, Havdalah is Hagefen and Havdil bin Kodesh Nechon. Besamim, it's only done, but better not to as well. Because again, the main Havdalah is Havdil and Hagefen. That's it. Now, when it comes to a child who wants to go to sleep, what's better? Is it better to do Havdalah from Plag HaMincha, so a couple of hours for the end of Shabbat? Or is it better to do it on Sunday? See the two ideas here. Either you can do it late or early. Okay? So, as you can imagine, this is a question which is debated. It's difficult to give a final conclusive answer on it. Okay? But though many will argue that if you're going to sleep straight away, so you're making up the night, and you know, you're going straight to bed, it's the last thing you're doing, then many would argue that it's better to do it then, rather, especially for us Faradim, rather than do it on a Sunday morning. Okay? And therefore, to summarize what we've said about Havdalah. Havdalah means, in very simple terms, is distinguishing Shabbat from other days of the week, and that's done over grape juice, and with two brachot, Borei Pri HaGefen HaAvdil bin Kodesh Lechol.
Can it be done with anything else, if not grape juice?
So like we said before, whiskey or beer. Whiskey or beer, but not bread, whiskey or beer. Yeah? That's what Havdalah is. We have besamim, the spices in the esh, but if a person doesn't have it, it's not accessible, then he doesn't have the chiyuv to go and search out for it. He doesn't have an obligation to go and search out for it. If a person is traveling straight after Shabbat, then he should ensure that the place where he's going, or at least he travels with, he has the ability to Havdalah sometime during the night or the next day. Okay. However, if that's not possible, if a person is not going to be able to do Havdalah for the next 24 hours, then he can do Havdalah ready from Plag HaMincha, okay, ready from before the end of Shabbat, and do Havdalah. Similarly, a person is going to sleep, a woman wants to go to sleep early, a person not feeling well wants to go to sleep early, there's still an hour left of Shabbat, then if he's going straight to sleep, then some would argue that you do Havdalah then. However, if you don't do that, then equally you can do Havdalah on a Sunday. But women are equally obligated as men are in Havdalah itself, and therefore they should ensure if they don't do it on a Shabbat, on Motzei Shabbat, they should at least do it on a Sunday morning. And therefore, especially for children as well, teenagers want to go to sleep, etc., then they can do it as we said, on Sunday morning. So to summarize what we've said with regards to tonight, we talked about Kiddush, we talked about who the obligation of Kiddush is incumbent upon, and different types of grape juice, and how a person to distribute the grape juice and the wine, and what a person does when he doesn't have grape juice. Similarly, we talked about the Sudot of Shabbat, and we explained that the obligation of Sudot Shabbat is only when a person is going to enjoy it, okay? Only when he's going to enjoy it, as opposed to a person who is going to feel uncomfortable, then he hasn't got an obligation to force himself to eat if he cannot eat a kazait. And we explained the concept of Kiddush Makom Suda, a person should ensure to have Kiddush with a significant amount of wine or cake afterwards, otherwise he shouldn't really partake of the Kiddush. And finally, we concluded with Havdalah, we explained the idea of Havdalah, and the main part of Havdalah, and what a person does when he is not able to actually make Havdalah straight after Shabbat, then the best time to do it is on Sunday. If you can't do it on Sunday, then some would tell you that you do it even from a couple of hours before the end of Shabbat. I just want to end off, we got 5 minutes, we're going to end off with a very brief idea on the parasha. I think an important idea. Tonight is actually exactly 1 month since Sukkot. Tonight's 1 month, 15th of Cheshvan. Tonight is 1 month since Sukkot. And we know, well, this year we had a beautiful year, Baruch Hashem, and we had some, all 7 days of Sukkot, a wonderful, beautiful Sukkot. But we know we do sometimes have here in England, no surprise, where we very rarely are able to sit in a Sukkah because it's raining. Okay? What happens if a person, imagine a person, he built his Sukkah, beautiful Sukkah, and the moment Sukkot begins, it rains, and it rains for all 7 days of Sukkot, and Sukkot comes and it goes, and you haven't actually sat in the Sukkah. Obviously, you will feel upset. A person who is spiritually in tune, who wants to do mitzvot because he likes doing mitzvot and has an appreciation of mitzvot, such a person will surely be upset. And that's a good thing. You had an opportunity to perform a mitzvah. For reasons out of your control, you weren't able to. I wish I could, but I can't. Okay? But tonight is already a month away from Sukkot. Is there a concept of a person thinking to himself tonight, I wish I could sit in the Sukkah now? I wish I could do the mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah? Surely you would say no. Obviously not. And there isn't. When do we say that a person is rewarded for wanting to do a mitzvah? That is when it's the appropriate time to do the mitzvah. Okay? So, for example, Pesach. It's the right time to eat matzah, and you have a stomach ache, and you cannot. You've been told you cannot have the 4 cups of wine. You cannot have matzah. I wish I could eat matzah. I wish I could have 4 cups of wine. I can't. You know, and the person has sincere regret, and he can't partake of the mitzvah. That's understandable. But a person who tonight wants to, you know, I wish I could perform the mitzvah of matzah, doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. Well, we find exactly this idea in this week's parasha. Because, what am I talking about, of course? Abraham. Abraham has just had his Brit Milah, just had his circumcision. And he's sitting in his tent. And we know the famous story. What happens is that Abraham is sitting at the entrance of his tent. Why is he sitting at the entrance of his tent? So we are told the reason is because he wants to invite guests. And he's upset, we're told. Because it's actually a very hot day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely makes it a hot day so that people won't be able to bother Abraham, because he knows Abraham wants to invite guests, and so, you know, he makes it that there aren't, doesn't have to, it's too hot, people aren't traveling, nobody to come in. But Abraham, being the person who he is, there he is sitting outside waiting for guests. Does that make any sense? Think about it. It's exactly the same as a person tonight wanting to sit in the Sukkah, or wanting to perform a mitzvah, which is not able to perform, when it's not the right time to perform. When do you have a mitzvah to invite somebody into your house, or to do chesed, to do kindness, or to help someone? When there is somebody needy. Correct? Somebody needs your help, and then you have a mitzvah. If for whatever reason you can't, then I can understand. You feel uncomfortable, you feel upset. I wish I could have performed a mitzvah, but in this situation I can't. I don't have the ability to do so today. But when there's nobody who needs your help, then surely the purpose of, there's no idea to go and, you know, find somebody to go and perform the mitzvah. Doesn't seem to make sense that Abraham is sitting in the entrance of his tent, trying to find a guest, trying to find somebody who's needy. But I have no, and he's upset that he can't do the mitzvah of achrasat orchim, he can't do the mitzvah of hospitality, he can't do the mitzvah of doing kindness to people. But there's nobody to do kindness to. And so what we know is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends 3 angels down, and he has the opportunity to do the mitzvah, etc., etc. Right? But what's the idea? Yeah. If there's nobody who's in need of your help, then why should you be seeking to help someone? So Moshe Feinstein says beautifully that this underscores how the mitzvah of chesed and of kindness is different from all other mitzvot in the Torah. All other mitzvot in the Torah, like we've demonstrated till now, when you have the opportunity to do so, you do it. You can't do it, that's unfortunate. But you don't have an obligation to pursue the mitzvah when you can't do it. Chesed, kindness, and improving our interpersonal relationships is so important that a person needs to pursue it. And a person who goes through his life not doing chesed, not because he doesn't do it, because he doesn't want to do it, but because there's nobody to do it to, that's also flawed, that he's also lacking. A person has to be in a situation where he's constantly helping others, and if he finds himself in a situation where everyone around him seems to be great, everyone around him seems to be doing really well, and nobody needs his chesed, a person needs to seek out, to pursue, to find chesed. Tzedek, 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 about him to pursue kindness and helping others. And the reason why this chesed is so different from everything else is very simple. I'll conclude with this. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God created the world only to do chesed, only to do kindness. And the purpose of all mitzvah, the purpose of everything is for us to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to walk in His ways. And the greatest way in doing so, when the whole purpose of creation was for God to be meitiv, to do kindness, then the most important thing is that we, for us to walk in His ways, it's for us to pursue kindness, for us to pursue chesed. Which is why even when a person doesn't have opportunities around him, and he's got no duty to do chesed, nonetheless what we learn from Abraham is actually have a duty to pursue it, and to try to find situations where a person can contribute, and can actually help other people, even if there isn't immediately around him. And that's what Abraham was doing. And that's why this is so different from all other mitzvot in the Torah, because there is a duty to actually pursue chesed. Next week, as I said at the beginning, we're going to have a break. We'll resume in 2 weeks. And next lecture, we actually get to the kitchen. Okay, so we get to the kitchen. So we're going to be doing about bishul. Next shul will be about cooking. We'll talk about reheating, how to serve foods, stirring food on the fire, etc., and cooking in the sun, using a duchemesh, how to make a tea, klisheni, all these types of things. What really is a klisheni? Are we allowed to use a klisheni? Lots of interesting things, Bezat Hashem. That will be in a couple of weeks' time. And if I may conclude by inviting you all, Bezat Hashem, to a kiddush, not this Shabbat, the following Shabbat, because I won't see you till a couple of weeks' time, which will, please God, be held here. On Shabbat, Parashat Chayei Sarah, the 3rd of November, to celebrate the Kiddush for our baby daughter. Everyone's welcome, B'zat Hashem, to come and join us. Have a good evening, and see you in a couple of weeks.